Our scripture reading this morning is taken from the Old Testament book of Joshua, the very last chapter of that book, Joshua chapter 24, beginning with verses 1 through 3, and then continuing with verses 14 through 25. Now, sometimes in the common lectionary, which is what we generally follow, they do this because there's a bit of history that they go into. Maybe there's a chunk of time that they're describing in those scripture passages. I just wanted to let you know there's not any sort of secret handshakes in those verses that we're leaving out that aren't being read. This is what we're going to hear today is when the covenant is actually renewed between the people of God and God. And we hear that today with great humility and also hope, because who are the people of God today? Look around. Then Joshua gathered all the tribes of Israel to Shechem and summoned the elders, the heads, the judges, and the officers of Israel, and they presented themselves before God. And Joshua said to all the people, "Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, long ago your ancestors, Terah and his sons Abraham and Nahor, lived beyond the Euphrates and served other gods. Then I took your father Abraham from beyond the river and led him through all the land of Canaan and made his offspring many. Now therefore revere the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in faithfulness. Put away the gods that your ancestors served beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. Now, if you are unwilling to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your ancestors served in the region beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Then the people answered Joshua, who was just speaking, "Far be it from us that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For it is the Lord our God who brought us and our ancestors up from the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery, and who did those great signs in our sight. He protected us along all the way that we went, and among all the peoples through whom we passed. And the Lord drove out before us all the peoples, the Amorites who lived in the land. Therefore, we also will serve the Lord, for he is our God." But Joshua answered the people and said, "You cannot serve the Lord, for he is a holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgressions or your sins. If you forsake the Lord and serve foreign gods, then he will turn and do you harm and consume you after having done you good." And the people said to Joshua, "No, we will serve the Lord." Then Joshua said to the people, "You are witnesses against yourself that you have chosen the Lord to serve him." And the people answered, "We are witnesses." Joshua said, "Then put away the foreign gods that are among you and incline your hearts to the Lord, the God of Israel." The people said to Joshua, "The Lord our God we will serve, and him we will obey." So Joshua made a covenant with the people that day and made statutes and ordinances for them at Shechem. Here ends the holy word of God given for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Join with me in prayer. We thank you for this day, Lord, and we thank you for how you continue to be at work in our lives. Father, we're grateful for your word of life. Help it to inspire us, keep us humble and open to be filled as your people. It's in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ, that we pray. Amen. It seems like every Saturday or every Sunday, there's something that occurs. And I've seen it because I happen to watch it take place every week. There's a game of the year that takes place in football, in college football. There's a game of the year that happens every week. Okay, now, no, we were kidding last week. Now this is the game of the year. And last night, it happened once again. LSU and Alabama. And I said that Alabama because that's kind of how you need to say it. Alabama, they played. And it was an excruciatingly dull game. I have to share that with you. I didn't watch the whole thing. But what really struck me after this current game of the year was a statement that was made by, of course, one of the winning players on the LSU side. They would be the only one that would make this kind of statement. It is as follows. Quote, "Anything is possible if you believe in God and work hard." Well, of course, he's going to say that. But what about the guys who believe in God on the other side? I mean, nobody goes up to the losing team and sticks a microphone in their face and they're smiling. Anything is possible if you believe in God and work hard. It reminds us of a reality. That just because we believe in God and work hard, it doesn't mean that we're always going to win. It doesn't mean that the things that we think should happen are always going to take place. Well, shoot, I believe in God. I'm following God. I think I've handed my life over to God, and I think I'm doing a pretty darn good job with it. And I'm not going to try to hurt myself either, patting myself on the back. But you know what? There's this problem that I'm facing. Or there's this challenge that has arisen in my life, or, you know what, somebody that I deeply, deeply love is going through an incredibly difficult time. What happens then? As the people of God, we are never promised that everything is going to go smoothly, or I should say, our way. What we do understand is that God will continue to be in control. Amen? Does that mean that we're always going to understand what God's doing? Absolutely not. The longer I'm in ministry, the more often I find myself in situations that don't really have an easy answer. You know what I say to people whenever there isn't an easy answer? Nothing. I listen. I open myself to simply trying to be present in that situation. And I believe that that's really what God is calling each of us to do. To be His presence, if you will, in a particular situation where people need to understand that God is still present, is still at work, His grace is still flowing, His love is still approaching us. And it doesn't really matter what we say, but rather how we point to Him in our lives. It's that phrase that I've shared a number of times here, a phrase that talks about you might be the only Bible that somebody sees. Or maybe even think about it in this way. Think about somebody else that you have seen in your life that points towards God. Now, I'm not saying that we're always going to point towards God. In fact, sometimes it may be very difficult and a great challenge. And yet, we belong to God and we are His people. The scripture passage today, right at the end of the book of Joshua, concludes a long story of conquest. Joshua is a leader, and in this situation, many times a military leader. And there are some miraculous things that happen in the book of Joshua. In fact, in Joshua, the sun stands still. But that's a whole nother story. I won't preach on that this morning. Joshua, as it comes to the end of this book, is also coming to the end of his life. And after the people of God had been through so much and had been through so many challenges, he wants them to remember that it is God who still defines them. That particular phrase, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Have you ever heard that before? Have you ever walked into a Christian bookstore and seen it on a plaque? Do you maybe even have it on a plaque in your house? It's a good thing. But there's more to the story. Joshua is giving the people a choice, if you will. Not really. But he's trying to elicit a response and focus them on God. And he's saying, well, you can go ahead and worship the idols that you had before. You can go ahead and worship the small god, small letter G's, that you worshiped before. You can go ahead and focus all your energy on them. But as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord, the one true God. And eventually the people give a witness against themselves here, don't they? They say, no, we are going to serve God. We are going to do it. Well, folks, spoiler alert, in the rest of the Bible, the people of God don't always follow God. Is that a shock for anybody here? We, as the people of God, spoiler alert, don't always follow God and put God first in our lives. But isn't it good to be in a place like this where we can truly openly be all about God, talk about God, and remind ourselves of who is our head, who is our Lord, who is our source of grace and love? Joshua reminds the people of what God has done for them in the past. And it's good to remember what God has done, and it's good to recollect. And whenever we get together as Christians, it's good to share about what God has done for us in our lives and to remember things that took place. Remember whenever we heard God's voice, or whenever we felt God's touch, or remember whenever there was a healing or there was a miracle that took place in our gathering, we as the body of Christ. It's good to remember those things because then we remember who it is really all about. It's enough work just focusing on God in worship, but we must do that. It's imperative that we do, because when we go from this place, will there be distractions? Will you maybe get frustrated with another driver in our very parking lot? Possibly. And at that point you'll say, what was he talking about again? Or maybe you'll be at the restaurant and you'll say, man, did you see that so-and-so in the parking lot? And there'll be no mention about Joshua, or me and my house were going to serve the Lord. And then it just starts building because the waitress doesn't bring your iced tea quick enough, or your coffee's cold, or your omelet's runny. And man, then your team loses today, and you forget, forget it. I've had enough. It's silly though, isn't it? The things that distract us from God. I mean, quite honestly, it really is. There's a book that was written, and it's called, this is interesting, I'm going to Google this, check it out more, The History of the World in 100 Objects, okay? So you think about an object, a hymnal, something like that, that's an object. And this guy wrote this book, The History of the World and 100 Objects, and what he's proposing is that these 100 different objects throughout the history of the world led to civilization, led to people being able to survive, that kind of thing. Okay, I don't know a whole lot more about the book except that, but I thought it was an interesting premise. I don't necessarily know if I agree with it. I've never seen the book. So if you go out and you get the book, and you say, well, Neil doesn't know what he's talking about. I've never read the book. I just kind of like the idea. And this is what he says, though. And I really like this. Hear this. If we took the Bible, he says, that would tell us what God wants us to be, the Bible, if we took that. The items in this book, he says, tell us what we actually are. What are we worshiping? Really? In our lives? Who do we serve in our house? Is it about accumulations, items? Are we worshiping petty distractions? Worship is what you give your full attention to. Are we worshiping worry, focusing all our energy on that? Or are we worshiping God? Our table this morning is set once again. And I invite those who are going to be serving communion to please come forward at this time. Jason, would you help me serve? Thank you. And what I would remind you of as these stewards come forward to receive the elements, that these elements remind us of God providing for us once again. They really do. They were a reminder to the early disciples who gathered with Jesus around that table when he said, this is my body broken for you, given for you. As you receive this body, you receive me, you also are reminded of God at work in your life. The body of Christ broken for the people of God, and we are the people of God. Thanks be to God. And after that, he poured out the cup. And he said, this is my blood shed for you, offered for you. As you receive this, know that God will be paying a great price so that you would live forgiven from your sins. God continues to provide, doesn't he? The blood of Christ shed for the people of God, and we are the people of God. Thanks be to God. After the stewards have received these elements of grace, you'll be directed by the ushers to come forward. This is an open table, so all are welcome. Each and every one of you is invited. If you can't come forward, there will be two stewards that will come around to serve you at your seats.